Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland. So I'm outside the house where the Secretariat of the Dutch Government in Exile was 1940 to 45, Chester Square in London. A very famous square, an 1850 square. Margaret Thatcher lived just around the corner, sort of number 75. No blue plaque up for her yet. Matthew Arnold, the poet, lived over there. Mary Shelley, authoress of Frankenstein, lived down the way, and so on. But onto this Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands, born in 1880. In Den Haag. So the only child of her father's second marriage. Her father's 63 when she was born. And he had three sons from his first marriage, two of whom had already died. The other one died a bit later. So she said she had a somewhat lonely childhood. And she was brought up by a British governess, so she spoke flawless English, which is unusual even in the Netherlands in those days. Anyway, obviously some bit of Latin, Greek, French and German. That was it. But then it was obvious that she was going to succeed when her elder half-brother died. So then her father died in 1890, so she became queen at the age of 10. And her mother, Emma of Waldeck, she reigned as a regent until Wilhelmina attained 18 years of age. So brought up in Het Nederlands Gereformeerde Kerke. And she married a German duke, the Duke of Mecklenburg-Schwerin. And she had only one child, Juliana, very unusual in those days. So despite her Christian upbringing, was not unusually religious for the time, and wise, tried to avoid controversy for the most part, obviously had to live like a queen without being too extravagant, and so forth, is a parliamentary system, constitutional monarchy. She's obviously one of the House of Orange-Nassau. Anyway, so she managed to navigate the Netherlands through the First World War, remaining neutral, a very perilous moment, a trading nation, became very trade on the high seas, Germany on one side, the United Kingdom on the other. If they went to war against either of them, the country was sure to be eviscerated. Anyway, so they managed to maintain their neutrality, not to appeal for the life of Mata Hari, who many people thought was a lowly strumpet. They're probably not a very effective spy. What can I say? So she was well regarded by the Dutch people, and even anti-monarchists seldom criticized her. She's a bit like an Elizabeth II figure. And then famously in the Second World War, she tried to maintain neutrality, not easy, but eventually boarded a British destroyer sent by the King of the United Kingdom. Ideally, she's going to sail to Zeeland, one of the northern Dutch provinces, then not under occupation. But she actually had to set sail to the United Kingdom because Zeeland was on the point of capitulation. Might have held out a bit longer if she was there. I don't know where in London she lived, but she was here for most of the time. She didn't like her Dutch Prime Minister, Jan Dirk, I can't remember his surname, de Geer, because she felt that he was a defeatist. He thought the Allies would be vanquished, and the only way forward was to open negotiations with the Third Reich. But she said that wasn't to be. So she managed to have him removed and replaced with a politician more amenable to her. As Churchill said, she was the only man in the Dutch government in exile, their cabinet being entirely male. So the Dutch armed forces surrendered, but the government had not. And then her daughter, Juliana, went to Canada, where her granddaughter was born and had started school and so on. So she visited the United States at the invitation of the US government in 1942 and became the first foreign woman to address a session of the Joint Houses of Congress. And of course, she's able to speak English to them. So that's it. And there was a Het Oranjehaven, a club for Dutch military officers here. What else can I say? Obviously then May 1945, it became safe to return to the Netherlands. But the Netherlands are very straitened circumstances. They've been through de Hongerwinter, and there was fighting in the Netherlands East Indies. And she was of the belief that this belonged to the United Kingdom. There was no such place as the United Kingdom to the Netherlands, and they ought to fight to retain it for the betterment of the Indonesians. But anyway, it wasn't to be, and they were bested. There was very strong American pressure to settle. They wouldn't get any martial aid from the United States if they didn't capitulate, and eventually they did. But in 1948, before that very unpalatable treaty for her to sign, she abdicated. She felt she was old enough at this stage. There she was, 68, well beyond retirement age at the time, and to hand over to her daughter, Juliana, and so wave goodbye to people from Dam Palace on Dam Square in Amsterdam, and she went into retirement. She made occasional public appearances, such as to bolster morale after the terrible sea floods of 1953. So that is a Queen Wilhelmina, one of three generations of queens after her, Juliana, like I said, who abdicated in the early 1980s. And then it was her granddaughter, Queen Beatrix, the one born in Canada. So her daughter also married a German, quite controversial in those days. And then it's now her great-grandson, King Willem Alexander, who's there, the king. And he's got three daughters, he's got no sons, and his eldest daughter is the Princess of Orange. She will next soon be the Queen Regnant of the Netherlands. Okay, thank you very much for my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodaloo.